You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
And it is a great day to be alive on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, always live inside that trusty Westwood One Sports app as well, and live across North America until noon Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 375. Welcome in, my friends. The playoffs are getting interesting in some spots. Didn't even really get started in other spots. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker. And of course, we're still parsing through the leftovers of reactions to the 2026 NFL draft as the rest of the offseason now really gets underway. People waiting for players to sign franchise tags, who they thought were going to sign tags, but were otherwise too busy over the weekend to sign tags. Really, George, a lot to get to today. Speaking of draft opinions, the great Dane Brugler of The Athletic, NFL draft analyst extraordinaire, is going to join us in less than 45 minutes. We're going to talk to him about his grades, his thoughts, his analysis on this year's draft. And of course, I know we're only 3 days removed from this year's draft, but a way, way, way too early look at the 2027 draft, including a name in the top 10 that I think most of you are going to go, huh? Who? Okay. Great stuff from Dane upcoming, like I said, right around 9:40 a.m. Eastern. One director of player personnel in the NFL said the quiet part out loud yesterday. We'll get to that in an hour. Brian Geltzeiler of Sirius XM NBA Radio on the Pistons on the brink and the Nuggets finding some life at home against the T-Wolves last night. And RJ Choppy later in the show from the Metroplex, DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, to talk about, well, the Cowboys. I know, it feels like we're just hitting all those notes that you get tired of hearing about, aren't we? Cowboys this, Cowboys that. But we've got to talk about what I'm sure will be the first chapter in a summer-long George Pickens saga. A lot to get to today. If you want to join the conversation, you can always do so inside the stream, live on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheKostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, or by simply picking up the phone. Save it in your contacts. Westwood 1, 310-840-4910. Give us a call. Let us know your reaction to everything going on in the sports world. Again, Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today. As I like to do every day, we lead things off with the five biggest stories of the day, the high five.
Five.
I had, you know, some secret meetings with, you know, Coach McVay. And, you know, I just was trying to be on script and, you know, do what, you know, everybody told me not to tell anybody. So, you know, it was something to where I knew that they were interested. I just didn't know when.
You know that meme, that gif of the little kid who just sits there and blinks with his mouth in that sort of smirky grin? That's me when I hear Ty Simpson push back on the narrative that Sean McVay wanted nothing to do with him. Now, I think the story does line up because I don't think there's any way that any NFL team drafts a quarterback in the top 15 of the draft without the head coach having met him at some point. And so I believe the fact that Sean McVay and Ty Simpson met before the draft. I believe the fact that the Rams had their eyes on Simpson. And I believe the fact that they may have even said to him, hey, Ty, let's keep that on the DL. You know what I mean? Just between us. If anybody asks, you don't even know who Sean McVay is, all right? And he towed that line leading up to the draft. I'll buy all of that. What I'm still not willing to buy is that Simpson and McVay are going to work well together in L.A. If work together at all, I said it yesterday, I would not be the least bit shocked if Ty Simpson never takes a snap as a starter for Sean McVay as the head coach. This is an arranged marriage where the first wife is still living in the house. And McVay can't push past that, as we saw in the post-draft press conference. And I think we're still looking at a situation where it's very difficult for me to envision Ty Simpson taking starter snaps for the Los Angeles Rams while Sean McVay is his head coach. We'll get into this in a little bit more detail and why I'm doubling down on the lack of chemistry between Ty Simpson and Sean McVay a little bit later in the show. But next.
Four.
Okay. Turns the corner.
Oh! Got a body!
Jamal Cain with a massive dunk for Orlando last night as Michael Grady, Austin Rivers, and Robbie Hummel lost their minds on NBC. And the Magic have pushed the Pistons to the brink with an, let's be honest, ugly win last night. It was, and that's, I'm not taking anything away from Orlando, but any NBA playoff game that finishes 94-88, not exactly a barn burner. Neither team really shooting the lights out last night in Orlando, but that's somewhat at least what I expected. I thought Detroit would lock down on defense, and they really did. I think they held Orlando to like 33-35% shooting, I think it ended up being for the night. But it was enough because the Pistons were that much worse. Oof, they were bad. Jalen Duren, just 12 points. He's now only taken 32 shots in the first four games of this series. And despite the Pistons locking down defensively on Orlando, which, again, I think most of us expected, it wasn't good enough because the Pistons couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. And even Cade Cunningham had a bad shooting night. And when there's no one else to pick up the slack, as we saw the Pistons pick up most of the slack when Cunningham was out of the lineup, but when those guys don't pick up that slack when Cunningham is already in the lineup, there's just nobody scoring basketball for the Pistons. And I don't see them coming back from down 3-1 after the way they've played the first four games of this series. Unless they start limiting Orlando, holding Orlando to 20% shooting instead of 30% and start winning games 76-64. Like, I don't see Detroit coming back to win this series. And it's gonna make history. I'll tell you exactly how the history gets made in about 12 minutes here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos with the five biggest stories of the day. The high five next.
Three.
Yeah, I don't give up the 10th pick in a draft. You know, I enjoy the draft, and I think adding those young players is a real positive. But, you know, we do an analysis of who we might be giving up. You never know, you know, who the first nine picks are going to be. But we do those analysis, and we look at who we might be forgoing to get this done. And we felt like whoever it was a good move for us.
Duke Tobin, Bengals director of player personnel, yesterday in his post-draft press conference, talking about the decision to trade out of the 10th spot overall in order to acquire Dexter Lawrence. And it's simple, and we all knew this probably before the Dexter Lawrence trade. I don't think it's any breaking news, but they're all in on now, and that makes sense in Cincinnati. They should be all in on now. Joe Burrow is their starting quarterback. Chase, Higgins, everything else. Now they've traded for Dexter Lawrence. They should be in on now. But In his press conference yesterday, Duke Tobin laid it out. He also said, it's one of the attractive things about trading a 10th pick for an all-pro. You know exactly what you're getting. Immediate impact. That was something that was a big decision point for us. We get immediate impact instead of impact as we go. That was important. Yeah, it should be. And now, much like we talked about the Cowboys yesterday in relation to what everybody agrees was an excellent draft by them, the Bengals have done everything this offseason to set themselves up for success, to go back to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. And if they don't, again, the personnel has been put together. You have the quarterback in place. You have the weapons around that quarterback. If they have a healthy Joe Burrow and don't go back to the playoffs, at the very least, old Zach with a K, or Zach without a K, is going to be Zach without a job. That was clever until I screwed that line up. Next.
Two.
Inside Anderson, lost it. Johnson speeds ahead. Johnson takes it all the way. It's a Duke party.
Cam Johnson going coast to coast, rocking the rim in Denver last night as the Nuggets took care of the T-Wolves. That put them up by 27 late third quarter. Noah Eagle on the call on NBC. And the Nuggets live to fight another day and a dunk party. That's what he said. A dunk party. I had trouble hearing that the first time, too. I know some of you were like, what? A what? A dunk party. You've never been to a dunk party? Noah has. Anyway, it's going to be all about Nikola Jokic getting back on track. He had a triple-double last night. You can't ignore the fact that Jokic showed up. 27 points, 16 assists, 12 boards. Jokic looked like himself again. And that's the real easy surface-level thing to notice about this game. If you didn't stay up and watch all of it, or you just woke up this morning and looked at the box score and a quick recap write-up of it, you're going to go, okay, Jokic is back. All is well in Denver. Yes, Jokic appears to be back on track, but the bigger story for me in this one were what I call the shotgun riders. Spencer Jones with 20. Cam Johnson, who you just heard in that clip, with 18. The shotgun riders showed up for the Nuggets. And a team that is now, I want to say, essentially down to just shotgun riders, the T-Wolves, didn't have any of them show up. And you saw exactly how enormous the absence of Anthony Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo are going to be for Minnesota to overcome. They only need one more win in the next two. Can they get it? If Jokic remains on, it's going to be hard. But more importantly, if the shotgun riders for the Nuggets outplay the shotgun riders for the T-Wolves, then I could definitely see Denver making the comeback in this series. I'll go a little deeper on what I mean about those shotgun riders and the guys who did and didn't show up on either side for Minnesota and Denver coming up in about 12 minutes here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos. Next.
One.
Checked in and was told, and I can read you the text. Basically, it says, it was draft weekend. Signing the tag immediately wasn't first thing on his mind.
Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Signing his franchise tag wasn't the first thing on George Pickens' mind over the weekend after we'd all heard the reports that he was planning to do so. Gotcha. George Pickens is being difficult already. I mean, this is George Pickens in a nutshell, right? Why is anyone shocked by this? This is George Pickens, and it's not going to get any easier the rest of this summer. He's going to force the Cowboys' hand. He does not want to play on the tag. He wants an extension. Stephen Jones has said they're not going to negotiate on an extension. They're going to play hardball with each other all summer long, right up until the very bitter end. Stop me if you've heard something like this before. Remember last year, Cowboys and Micah Parsons, they played hardball all summer, and then eventually they got a divorce. Don't tell me you don't see that same thing playing out here with George Pickens forcing the Cowboys' hand. And like there aren't at least a handful of teams out there who are in rebuild mode these days, especially at the wide receiver position, looking at you, Tennessee Titans, who wouldn't love to pay George Pickens a Brinks truck load of money and give up a first-round pick or two to do so. That's the way this is heading. That's the way this ends. Is anybody going to be unsurprised when that's the way it goes down between George Pickens and the Cowboys this summer? I don't know. We'll ask RJ Choppy of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas when he joins us a little bit later in the show. We are up and running on You Better You Bet for a terrific Tuesday here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos. Always invite you to join us in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/@TheKostos or on the phones at 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. Coming up next, we are on the brink of history in the first round of the NBA playoffs, and I'll tell you why tomorrow night may give us something for just the fifth time in the last quarter century in the NBA. That's next here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Phone lines are still active. The NFC East has already made a litany of moves. Now the question becomes, who's next to be traded? George Pickens or A.J. Brown? Westwood One Sports.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
At Tidal Wave Auto Spa, we believe a great car wash should leave your car seriously shiny. That's why we put it to the test in the Tidal Wave Shine Showdown, where 84% of people chose Tidal Wave as the shinier wash. Stop by Tidal Wave Auto Spa for a top-of-the-line car wash that leaves your car shining outside and fresh inside. Every car wash includes free vacuums, microfiber towels, and interior cleaning sprays. Find a location near you at TidalWaveAutoSpa.com.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
It's time to spring into deals at Lowe's. Freshen up your yard with Stay Green Premium 2 Cubic Foot Mulch. 5 bags for $10. Then get what you need to keep clothes, food, and dishes fresh with up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/6. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
To learn how you can make a difference.
Of Johnson. Jokic lob. Murray does the rest.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Ruh-roh, T-Wolves, Denver may be alive. At least they're lasting another couple days. 125-113 last night in Game 5, and it wasn't even that close. We'll get into it in a second. Brian Geltzeiler of SiriusXM NBA Radio going to join us exactly 1 hour from now here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today to talk about where we are in the first round with another team eliminated, the Suns. Bye-bye. Thunder completed the sweep last night, so now they will sit and wait, presumably, for the Lakers, unless Kevin Durant decides to actually play and the Rockets do something miraculous. But as for last night, the Pistons are done. Like, just I don't know how more succinctly to say it. The Pistons are done. We'll get to the Nuggets and the T-Wolves in just a second. Detroit, I mean, as I said off the top of the show, they locked down Orlando defensively. Good for them. That was nice. That's what you need to do in that situation. On the road, trying to get it back home, even up it to a piece. It's a new series at that point, and you still have home court advantage. That was not what happened for Detroit last night. They did lock down defensively, but what did Orlando shoot? 33%? It was ugly. But Orlando came up with a few shots here and there. Detroit came up with no shots anywhere. Especially, how about this? In the last 5:21 of the game, the Pistons scored exactly one field goal. And it was an Isaiah Stewart putback from a Cade Cunningham miss. Jalen Duren has gone missing in this series. The guy who helped drag them kicking and screaming through Cunningham's absence towards the end of the regular season has taken just 32 shots in four games and is hitting it less than 50%, 15 of 32, just 12 points last night. And it wasn't just Duren. It was the entire team. It's almost enough to make you wonder if they would have been better off without Cunningham coming back. And that's not a knock against Cade Cunningham. It just makes you wonder, like, would the support players around Cunningham have played better if Cunningham had not been there and actually gotten through Orlando? I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to find reasons that would somehow make Pistons fans feel better, because there's nothing to feel good about in this regard, because it's going to be history tomorrow night if Orlando closes it out. And when Orlando closes it out, whether it's tomorrow night or Friday night, it will make history, because this will be just the fifth time in the last quarter century that an 8 seed has advanced over a 1 seed in the NBA playoffs. Last time was just a few years ago, that Miami Heat team that went on a run, took out the Bucks in 5 games. Last time before that, 11 years previous, Sixers over the Bulls in 6 games in 2012. Year before that, Grizzlies over the Spurs in 6 games in 2011. And in 2007, the Warriors took out the Mavs in the first round in 6 games. Those are the only 4 times it's happened since the NBA first round moved to a best of 7. This is going to be the 5th. And don't lie. Don't. You didn't have the Magic winning this series. Hell, I didn't even have the Magic getting into this series. And again, it was an ugly game. I don't want to take anything away from Orlando. But Detroit was sloppy. They couldn't hit a bucket to save their lives. Like I said, one field goal in the last 5:21 of the game. I'm not taking anything away from the Orlando Magic. They will make history when they close this series out as an 8 seed defeating a 1 seed. But they're going to get absolutely rocked in the next round. Cleveland, isn't exactly wowing me either, but Orlando is not long for these playoffs. And look, clip this off, save it, do whatever you want with it. submit it to freezing cold takes if you want to, for when Orlando somehow pulls off the impossible and gets past Cleveland or maybe even Toronto. That's fine. Save it. Call me on it in a couple weeks if that's the way it goes. But just pave the Celtics' path to the NBA Finals in gold, my friends. Just walking down that primrose path. Assuming they'll close out the Sixers tonight as well. Now, as for the Nuggets and the T-Wolves, yes, the story everyone is going to talk about, Nikola Jokic's triple-double. And for good reason. Not because it was a Jokic triple-double. Those happen often enough. And that's a testament to Jokic and how good he is and how he steers this thing for Denver. But as much so because he was absolutely, utterly useless in games 2, 3, and 4. Again, that's important. The Nuggets aren't going anywhere if Joker doesn't get back on track, and he looked firmly back on track last night. But the bigger story for me in that game, or what I call, I mentioned this off the top of the show, the shotgun riders. Spencer Jones, Cam Johnson, both showed up big, a combined 38 points. And more importantly, the T-Wolves are now a team of shotgun riders without Anthony Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo. And they did not show up. Naz Reid, just 12 points on 5 of 11. Rudy Gobert, I know he's not there for his offense. Rudy Gobert did not make a bucket, did not score a point until the final minute of the third quarter. He ended up with 3 points last night. 3. Jaden McDaniels, this is probably just as, if not more important than whether Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert want to contribute offensively. Jaden McDaniels, just 5 of 11. And here's the thing that really stood out. Minnesota is built on defense. Everyone on that team, Edwards included, can play defense. And nobody did last night. McDaniels, a minus 25, as was Rudy Gobert in plus minus. Minus 25. Hey, you can survive Ant's absence if you can actually lock down on D and force Denver into some difficult shots. But how often did the Nuggets even have to get into their half-court offense last night? How many times was the ball turned over blindly? Naz Reid, multiple times last night. Offensive fouls, blind passes. Again, to take nothing away from what the Nuggets did, especially with Jokic getting back on track. But the T-Wolves were just horrid last night. And they created so many opportunities in transition for Denver, for both Spencer Jones and Cam Johnson. And Jokic, he was more than happy to set them up. And when they did get into a half-court set, continue to set them up. As I mentioned, 16 assists for Joker last night. So he looks firmly back on track. I have gone from just 48 short hours ago wondering how the Nuggets were going to bounce back and win the final three games of this series without peak Jokic to now saying, okay, you don't even need peak Jokic. And yes, the injuries to Edwards and DiVincenzo are the reason for that. But damn, when your star goes out, you got to get it together. You got to lock down. You got to play smart ball. And the Minnesota Timberwolves did the exact opposite of that last night. Nuggets 6.5-point favorites in Minnesota for game 6. And if the Nuggets win game 6 and force a game 7 back in Denver, that puckering sound you hear, that will be the rear end of every Minnesota Timberwolf. Going, oh boy, we're about to blow it. Now they'll have the built-in excuse of Edwards and DiVincenzo's injuries. But they will have gone from needing just one win out of three to blowing the series because they couldn't do the one thing this team was built on. Play defense and be smart and responsible with the basketball. Now, if they decide to play defense in game six and decide to be intelligent and not loosey-goosey with the basketball, loosey-goosey, by the way, as a term, sounds like something every coach has said at some point in their life. I don't know why it sounds very coach speak to me, but it does. Loosey-goosey. It reminds me of the football coach in Dazed and Confused. Randall Pink Floyd, don't think I don't notice that crowd you're running with. I guarantee that coach, when somebody put the ball on the ground in practice, you're all loosey-goosey with the football, carrying it like a loaf of bread. Anyway, if the T-Wolves want to continue to be loosey-goosey with the basketball and not play defense, they're not going to win one of these next two. Denver will complete the comeback from down 3-1. And congratulations for your efforts. You'll get the San Antonio Spurs. The Jokic being on changes everything. Kenny just put in the chat, "You're not Michael Vick. Tuck the football." I mean, that you're all loosey-goosey. What do you think this is? What a term. The draft is now firmly in the rearview mirror, but we got to talk to one of the guys. I mean, the most exhaustive analysis of pre-draft material is done by Dane Brugler of The Athletic. So we are going to talk to him about what he liked and disliked the most about the 2026 NFL draft. And naturally, because the man is a sicko like us, we're going to look ahead to next year already. Yeah, we're going to do it with Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst, next right here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Who aced the draft and who completely whiffed? We're breaking down the picks, the fits, and where your team goes next. Westwood One Sports.
The world is huge, like 197 million square miles huge, but it's also smaller than you think. With unlimited 2% cash back, the Cash Rewards Plus Visa card from Navy Federal brings our members closer to the game they love, rewarding fans of FIFA World Cup 26 every step of the way, thanks to Visa. From new jerseys and gear to game day tickets and nonstop cheer, with Visa and Navy Federal by your side, the world is at your fingertips. Terms apply for credit card rewards. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash for more information. Visa, worldwide partner of FIFA World Cup 26.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. In fact, there are major differences in quality from one brand to the next. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings. Every bite is better for you and higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, and candy. Old Trapper, in the Clearview bag, is the world's finest jerky, made with only the best ingredients. So ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Or to learn how you can make a difference.
With the first pick in the 2026 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Fernando Mendoza, quarterback, Indiana.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
I was about to say, if you're a fan of the draft, you know exactly who Dane Brugler is. He comes up with the beast every year for The Athletic. The most exhaustive resource of information on any and all players that may be drafted every single year. But you don't need to be just a fan of the draft. If you're just a football fan in general, this thing is, it's got to be just a massive undertaking. I made the mistake of trying to print the whole thing out one year. I have saved several forests in the years since and not printed them out. But we're still going to talk about all of the information that went into the 2026 NFL Draft with Dane Brugler of The Athletic joining us now on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. This segment sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Protecting your business vehicles 24-7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Good morning, Dane. Thanks for taking the time. Any sleep at all in the last 4 or 5 days for you?
I think that's what May's for. You know, still kind of putting the finishing touches on this draft. Got a 2027 mock draft that just went up today on The Athletic. So kind of putting the finishing touches on this draft. And then the month, I'll admit, I look forward to the month of May because it's a little bit of dialing it back a little bit before we dive right back into next year.
Yeah, there is a name in that 2027 mock draft that I saw in the top 10. That I'll be honest, I wasn't ready for, and I think a lot of people won't be familiar with. We'll get to that in just a little bit. I want to finish sort of putting the bow on 2026, and let's just start with Mendoza. Let's just start right off the top. How high should the expectations be? Because, you know, Fernando Mendoza comes in as the first overall pick in a draft that a lot of people have looked at and said, yeah, well, it's the 2026 draft. Maybe any other year, he's not the first overall pick or the first quarterback taken. But is there a way for Fernando Mendoza to pay off on all of the expectations that usually come with the first overall pick?
Yeah, no doubt. I think anytime you draft a quarterback in the top 10, you're making a bet. And certain quarterbacks feel like a safer bet than others, and some are more high risk, high reward. With Mendoza, it just feels like a safe bet. Now, there's no such thing as a sure thing, obviously. We've seen plenty of top 10 picks not pan out, especially at the quarterback position. But with Mendoza, I think you look at some of the key parts of his game, the accuracy, the intelligence, the intangibles, the toughness. I think those are kind of the key parts of his foundation of what makes him a good player, and what he did in the clutch moments in college. Like that, to me, you take all those things and say, okay, we don't know if any of these guys will work out, but I'm going to bet on this guy. And so I think it'll be interesting. The one of the main concerns, just him being able to have a little more creation when things fall apart, when that first read isn't there. Can he work his reads, find the backside dig? Can he do some of those things that maybe he just wasn't asked to do at Indiana? And so I think that when you're the Raiders and you've been lost in, you know, the wilderness trying to find a quarterback, these last how many years, I think Mendoza is just someone you are happy to have on your team. And now we'll see, you know, you go to training camp, Kirk Cousins, we'll see how many, you know, who starts the season and how that all plays out. But I think you're the Raiders. You're feeling very comfortable with Mendoza as your quarterback of the future.
They had, at least in my opinion, a pretty good draft overall. That's what happens when you've got the first overall pick and you've got the number of picks that the Raiders had. What else did they do that maybe got lost in the sauce of, okay, they got Mendoza first overall that you really liked?
Yeah, I thought they did a really nice job, really in each round. Trading Stukes, the defensive back from Arizona. People will kind of, you know, look at his age. You know, he'll be a 25-year-old rookie and kind of, you know, look at that as purely a negative. But the glass half full with a player that age is he's coming in from day one and you know what you're getting and you're going to have someone has at least the potential to make a pretty quick impact. And so I think it's not like you're drafting a 25-year-old where you're still talking about upside. This is a player who has experience at corner, safety, but it was at his best as a nickel. And so very interested to see how exactly they use him. But Stukes is someone that's going to make an impact early on. Kieron Crawford in the third round, you talk about just adding juice to your pass rush. That's what he does. Scouts, they watched that Auburn defensive line last year to watch Keldrick Falk. But it was number 24 that kept drawing their eye. And, you know, you keep talking, hearing more and more buzz about him. I thought he could have easily gone in the second round. Raiders get him in the third, come back with Trey Zune, a versatile offensive lineman in the later third. And then I love what they did on day three. Obviously, the dart throw with Jermaine McCoy. Hopefully, you know, just for his sake, he's able to stay on the field with that injury with the knee. And obviously, the Raiders are hoping the same thing. But Mike Washington, the running back, is a really good backup option. Dalton Johnson from another Arizona DB. So I think every step of the way, the Raiders had one of my favorite drafts this year.
Dane Brugler of The Athletic with us here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today. Whether your team took just a handful of picks this weekend or double-digit picks, you can find the most exhaustive information on every single one of those guys that's new to your franchise inside the Beast. If you subscribe to The Athletic, you can find it there inside the app. Exhaustive information on every single player. It's amazing how you put it together every year. I don't know how you do it. Let me ask you about the half dozen teams that had multiple first round picks. Cause I know a lot of them, when I was checking out your rankings, it's not necessarily letter grades, but you rank them from 1 to 32, the job they did in the draft. A lot of them were the teams with multiple first round picks, which makes sense. Were there any of the teams with multiple first round picks that you didn't necessarily like the way they handled it?
No, I mean, I think you're right. Like anytime you're doing grades or your power ranking, who did the best, obviously, like you said, with the Raiders, they had the number one overall pick. They should be high. The teams that had multiple first round picks, they should be high. The Browns had my favorite draft haul this year with Spencer Fano, Casey Concepcion. I think that's a home run for them. Just have to figure out that pesky quarterback position if you're Cleveland. I think that Dallas, same type of thing. I think the New York Giants, like the New York Giants had two picks in the top 10. Obviously, they should have been near the top. I thought the Jets were a little curious with, I'm kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, like drafting Kenyon Sadiq where they did in the mid first round. You know, I think obviously Mason Taylor last year, early in the second round, he had, I thought, a pretty good rookie year. Like you saw that, you see the talent and where he's headed. And so you're pretty excited about him. And then you bring in Sadiq. Okay, so how's this going to work? And is Sadiq going to be asked to, I mean, are we running just a lot of 12 personnel? Are we going to ask Sadiq to be more of a slot receiver for us? How is that going to play out? I'm not going to, you know, dismiss it. I'm more interested in just what the strategy is. Because then you come back and get Omar Cooper Jr., who was really a slot receiver for Indiana. Now, I think he has inside-outside versatility, but he did his best work on the inside. I think Miami, the Dolphins, were another team with multiple first round picks where I'm not going to, you know, say they didn't do a good job, but I'm more interested in, you know, Caden Proctor feels like a bet where this could work out really, really well, or this could maybe not go the right way. I think he's someone that you just don't find many human beings, 350 plus pounds, that have that type of explosiveness. It's just, can he be more consistent from a snap-to-snap basis? That's the only thing holding him back. If he were, he'd have been a top-five lock in this class. And then with Chris Johnson coming back, the corner, who ended up being the second corner drafted, Chris Johnson was one of my favorite players in the draft. So I really like what the Dolphins did with that second first-round pick. The first first-round pick, a little bit of a high-risk, high-reward. That second first-round pick, more of a, let's get one on the fairway. Chris Johnson's going to be a solid starter for us for a long time.
when you're going through compiling the information that you do for the Beast, I've mentioned several times how exhaustive it is. I mean, you unearth these little details about guys from, you know, their youth sports days, growing up, high school stats. What it, do you, can you think back on in this year's preparation and putting together this year's Beast was one of the most interesting little tidbits that you uncovered about someone in the process?
Yeah, and that's my favorite part about doing this is just learning about these journeys, because, you know, there's all these players getting to the doorstep of the NFL, but they all got here in different ways, whether they had a football in their crib growing up or they started playing as seniors in high school. You know, Keith Abney, the corner from Arizona State, who went to the Lions in the fifth round, him being an inline competitive inline skater growing up, winning the national championship in the 300 meters, setting a U.S. record in the seventh grade in Omaha, Nebraska. That's just something I've heard about wrestlers, former wrestlers becoming offensive linemen, and, you know, basketball players, obviously. But that was a first with inline skater. But I have to imagine some of that, you know, the endurance, the balance, the lower body strength, I have to imagine some of that translated over to the football field. Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback who signed, went undrafted, but signed with the Panthers, which is a good spot for him. He's one of the toughest players just in this draft, full stop. And I think the best way to sum that up, when he was a kid, he was a lefty quarterback and he got hurt. And most kids, they're just going to, you know, okay, sit on the bench for a few months, come back stronger than ever after the injury heals. No, he taught himself to throw right-handed and he is now a right-handed quarterback. I have never heard of that before. With a quarterback that got to the NFL, just learning to throw with his non-dominant hand because that's how much he wanted to be out there with his teammates.
Before I let you run, Dane, we only got about a minute and a half here, but your first way too early mock for 2027 is out. You just put it up on The Athletic this morning. Five quarterbacks in the first round, three in the top 10, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, and then I went, eighth overall. Who is Drew Mestemaker and why do people need to know exactly who he is going into this year?
Former walk-on, went to North Texas and just lit it up. And I think it's scouts are intrigued because he can sling it all over the place. Not the biggest guy, but he transferred to Oklahoma State with his head coach, Eric Morris. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how he adapts to an uptick in competition. And can he take that next step? But I tell you, scouts are buzzing about him and his ability, where he could be a year from now, 2 years from now. He's one of the feels like dozen quarterbacks in this draft where it's more intrigue than anything right now. But based off of how the 2026 season goes, absolutely could be in that top 15 conversation in the first round.
We do have like 30 more seconds. Does he have a little bit of a different throwing motion? He almost looks kind of like three, I don't want to say sidearm, but kind of like two-thirds, three-quarters motion.
It's why I said like he slings it, because it really feels like he's slinging the ball all over the place, and he doesn't need that set base. He doesn't need, you know, he's able to find his balance and put it on the money. And so, you know, we'll see how that translates to the Big 12, but like I said, scouts are really intrigued with how we can take that next step.
Dane, fantastic stuff. Love picking your brain. Absolutely love the Beast, which if you subscribe to The Athletic, you can find there all the information you need on every single player your team has added through the draft and the undrafted free agent process. Go take a couple weeks off. You deserve it. And then get to work on 2027.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst of The Athletic. I know I pumped it up a lot there, the Beast, but it seriously is. It's a Bible for those of us that want to know absolutely everything we could possibly know about the prospects our teams may be interested in. If you already know Dane and you know the Beast, then I'm just beating a dead horse here, but it's well worth it to those of you who have not investigated it before. Like I said, I tried printing it out 1 year, and there's probably a large forest somewhere that needs to be completely replanted. There's that much information on the page for every single prospect. Love talking to him about not just this year, but as you heard, somebody to keep an eye on going into next year as well. Drew Mestemaker, the Oklahoma State quarterback who transferred from North Texas. Go watch some of the video that's been posted already in Dane's mock for 2027 on Mestemaker. Coming up next, some teams They're not nearly as worried about the draft as they are about the now. And one director of player personnel basically said the quiet part out loud about his team and why they're all in on now. Now, we'll let you hear exactly what he said next here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
This is Westwood One Sports.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Whoa. Liberty Mutual customized this song for you. Whoa. Like your car insurance, it's custom to, yeah. Liberty Mutual's got the coverage that could save you money. Thanks to Doug and Limu, well now you can go and take that cruise. Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
800-785-9132.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN FM HD2 New York and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.